Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking. This is episode 3, and in today's episode, I will be walking students through how I figured out what my why was and why I wanted to work in investment banking. So this is something that I preach about a lot to students, and I definitely did that in episodes 1 and 2. So I figured the best course of action to do, you know, after a lot of the questions I got was like, hey, Sajan, can you help us understand how you came to what, figure out what your why was and why you wanted to work in investment banking? And I think this makes a lot of sense, right? Because oftentimes students, the best way to figure out an answer or you might have about your career path or how to maneuver is to actually be like, hey, let me see, let me go and seek someone out who's done what I want to do and let me see what they did and let me see what I can take and learn from them, right? So without further ado, I'm going to kind of jump right into that and go into my screen. Again, the PDF is there for the listeners that, you know, on audio only. Again, you get the email, so you'll get a link to the PDF that I'm going to be walking folks who are watching this through. So again, download that PDF and that way you can follow along with me as I walk you guys through my why and how I came up to, hey, why do I want to work in investment banking, right? So before I dive into this, what you guys see on your screen right now, there's a few things to keep in mind, right? Is that a lot of students that I work with one-on-one, a lot of students, not just the ones that I work with one-on-one, don't want to slight anyone or leave anyone out, but a lot of students are filled with ambition, but often that drive is, you know, misguided and misplaced. And that's the same pain that I had, you know, that I felt when I was in high school and college, didn't know exactly how to get to the end goal. So I knew what my vision was, what my dream was, but I just didn't know how to get there, right? And this is a big issue. This is a really big issue because students are not being shown how to think through their careers and alternate paths that you can take, right? So what I mean by that is, like, not everyone is going to go, hey, A plus B, you know, gets you AB, right? You know, not everyone is going to have, you know, a clean cut path, a cookie cutter path that's going to say, hey, you know, if you go into IB, you go to the buy side, and then you go to business school, and then you come back and it's either buy side, sell side again, or some corp role, or, you know, more and more, it's like a, you know, it's a tech role or whatever it may be, right? The problem is that not everyone is going to have that career path exactly. You might have to zigzag a little bit in order to get there, right? So one of the biggest things that I like to do is, in order to do this exercise that I want you guys to do today, is it's helpful to have someone walk you through their career. You know, ideally someone who has done what you want to do and help you understand, hey, how to think through and approach your own career decisions and make sure you maneuver around certain pitfalls that might come up, right? But the biggest issue is that students these days, students are not getting, you're not getting this in school, right? Not getting this type of guidance. Wow, my handwriting is so awful, but you're not getting this type of guidance. You're just not getting it. If people are looking at this on YouTube and are like, Sajan, you know, just give up on this like whole tablet thing, I'm not going to give up. My handwriting will get better. But to stay focused is that students as a whole, the problem is that you could reach out to someone and you could talk to, you know, someone who's a year or two older than you. The problem is that they're not going to be able to sit down and literally walk you through every intricate detail of how your career can go. And that's kind of what you have to do on your own. You know, even for me, yes, I had a lot of great mentors, people who had coffee with me, lunch with me. They would mock interview me. They'd introduce me to people. But at the end of the day, I was the one who had to sit down and go through various career paths. Like, hey, what if my, it's kind of if you're a Marvel fan, like in the Avengers, you know, Infinity Wars and Endgame, or even in Loki, of where how like a timeline could branch out, right? Depending on certain actions. So if you do step A, then it's going to create this whole other path. But if you do step 2, it's going to create this whole other path, right? So you're here today and you could go one way, you could go, you know, this is step 1. And then, you know, this is, let's say, step 2. But like, hey, let's say if you went and did, you know, this third option, right? You know, your path could go in any number of ways, right? There's a plethora of options that you could end up in, right? So that is a problem that students don't get that exposure to. You often end up taking shortcuts. You do roles that don't fit your long-term vision and you don't end up where you want to go. And the problem is that it's not even your own fault. It's just that no one has shown you. So just to kind of go back to that example, right, before I kind of start diving into the slide itself, I just kind of was freehanding a little bit. But I do want to expound on that a little bit, right? So for example, if you're, you know, let's just say this is you, and, you know, I'm sure you're not pink and you're a little bit more detailed than this, right? But let's say you're at a non-target, right? Option one is obviously, hey, you get into bulge bracket sell side, you know, and then you go into, you know, a mega fund. Ideally, this is like a non-target stream. And then you go to business school. And then from here, hey, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go back to my mega fund or the buy side and then kind of ride off into the sunset. But now alternatively, you could be a non-target and you get into some bank, right? And when I say a bank, it could mean any of the larger banks out there, but you get into like a middle office, back office type roles. You stay there for 2 or 3 years. And then you get into the front office type role again. If you look back to some of my prior episodes, I preach, hey, students don't understand how vast front office finance is. So you, again, have to do your research and figure out, hey, what front office role resonates with me, right? So again, you could be a student who takes this path of like, hey, let me spend 2 or 3 years and get my foot in because, hey, I can't stay an extra year or my GPA is too low and this is kind of my foot in and it's a prestigious firm and this is the best thing that I can do. So you get into a front office role this way, and I'm going to assume that it's sell side advisory because, again, this is about getting into investment banking, and you get in this way. And then from here, again, your path could go into many, many, many ways, right? You could go to a corp role. You could go to B school. You could go to the buy side, or you could even lateral, you know, sell side into another sell side advisory role, right? So there are a lot of things that you could do as well. And at the same time, let's say another kind of branch of this tree is that, hey, you don't get into banking right away. Hey, you don't go into some middle front office role. You decide to get like a master's in finance or something, a one-year program. And there are a lot of students that go and do one-year programs, again, at elite schools. So think of like an MIT or University of Florida or Villanova University. Again, not ideal, but if you're at a non-target or you have a poor GPA, you need to take that hit and invest and be like, hey, how do I rebrand myself? Go to a school that has a little bit better recruiting where I can kind of change my profile and really get into a program that has direct recruiting there. That's really important, right? Is that, you know, so that the point being is that depending on your actions, your career can go a multitude of directions, right? And with that being said, it is important. It is imperative if you're a senior in high school. Yes, if you're a junior in high school, yes, that early, because it's just so competitive these days. So even if you're a junior or a senior, and especially if you are a freshman or a sophomore in college, you need to take a, you know, a deep dive and be like, hey, what are the potential paths that my career can take, right? So I'm going to dive into, I know I prefaced it, I spent much more time than I wanted to. So I'm going to dive right into kind of these three pillars right here. So pillar one is exposure, pillar two is investment banking, and then pillar three is why investment banking. Okay, so let's jump into passion and interest. And the question is, Sajan, how did you get into here, right? So the question is, and don't laugh at this, is I have to give credit to VH1. And I don't even know if like VH1 is a thing. I know it's a channel, but I don't know how many people know what VH1 is. But there's a show on VH1 called The Fabulous Life Of. And essentially the show is it just highlights like, hey, here's a fabulous life of private equity managers or hedge fund managers or Russian oligarchs or whatever it is, right? So again, mind you that I'm a sophomore in high school and I watch a few of these episodes and I just see these people, you know, these hedge fund managers, private equity guys, and I'm just watching them like, hey, buying companies, taking ownership stakes, buying sports teams, buying movie studios. And again, it might sound a little vain, but I was like, whoa, hold up. How are they doing this? How is this even possible? And this was my hook. I knew from that moment that, hey, I want to do something that's going to allow me to invest into companies, buy businesses, operate them, and grow them, right? That to me as a sophomore in high school was so cool that you could buy entire companies and grow them and buy sports teams and do these cool things, right? I had no idea this was possible. It was even a thing. So I knew that I wanted to own and operate my own business at some point in my life, right? Some sort of holding company with various investments, you know, across sectors or working at a family office or a PE firm. I knew as a sophomore, I was like, hey, this is the realm that I want to be in, right? So this is what started me down my path of, you know, my research and learning and just absorbing copious amounts of knowledge at like a record pace, right? So for me, it was like, hey, who are the players in this world across industries, right? CEOs, founders, heads of banks, PE firms, hedge fund managers. So, you know, everything from some of the old school OGs, you know, Bruce Wasserstein, Joe Perrella, Paul Tudor Jones, you know, James Simmons, you know, guys like Mikhail Prokhorov or Roman Abramovich or the Koch brothers or Stan Kroenke, you know, Thomas Tull, Bob Iger, you know, Henry Kravis, Kohlberg, Louis Bacon, you know, David Matlin, Mark Patterson, you know, Ron Burkle, he owns the Soho House, and I think he still owns the Pittsburgh Penguins too. So pretty much just named a bunch of guys, name dropped all of them. Please respond to my cold emails. No, no, but these are guys, I actually have not actually reached out to any of them, which is shame on me. I should, because I preach, hey, reach out to everyone you admire, right? But again, focusing in on this, the more I read about these guys and what they did, I was like, hold up, you know, let me understand what their backstories were, right? What were their backgrounds? You know, were they raised by single parents? Did they go to county college? Did they even go to college? Were they raised poor, rich? Did they play sports? And the reason I did this, and the reason this is really important, is comps. You need to really identify what are your comps as they relate to people you look up to. So what were their grades, their major, their test scores? What gave them a leg up? What were some of the critical moments in their lives? And what were some big risks that they took that paid off, and what didn't? And where did they fail? And the reason I did this was, how did I stack up? And people say, hey, Sajan, you always talk about, hey, not worrying about outside noise. And I get that. That's great. But the reason this is important is because I needed to know is that, hey, what is the age range that I need to accomplish certain things by? Or, you know, how am I stacking up relative to the people that I'm looking up to? And I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of these comp timelines, right? So after I found all these people that I wanted to be like, the first thing was, okay, hey, but what age did these people achieve certain things, a role, title, experience? And that way I could use that timeline as like a constant check against myself and just as a measuring stick of like, hey, what have I done up until this point? And this would allow me to keep myself in check and constantly scrutinize my movements and my actions, right? So again, I think creating comps and a timeline is really important, and that's something that you should do, and it makes a lot of sense, right? Okay, and again, the question you need to ask yourself is, hey, where do I need to, you know, where do I need to position myself to be best suited for success? So I'm going to write that down, right? This is very important, right? Oh, wait, let me cross that out. And just for the people who are listening, you know, how do you position yourself to be best suited for success? Okay. Wow. The people who are watching at home are like, hey, for the people who are listening at home, you're not missing much, because this handwriting is hilarious. But anyway, this is the key takeaway. How do you position yourself to best, you know, to allow yourself to be best? You're putting yourself in the best place to succeed, right? So again, this sounds really overboard, but this is the silver lining. If you take one thing away from this episode, if you want to control your own destiny in a world where others have massive input in the direction of your life, then you need to control not only as many variables as you can, but also have as much information and knowledge as you possibly can have. So you are trying to have perfect information in a world where all information is imperfect. So you need to know how to move at all times and position yourself accordingly. Again, I want to say that one more time, because it is something that I believe in so much. Give me one second, guys. You know what? I just want to erase this real quickly on my tablet. Okay, so you know what? I'm just going to leave that on there. But again, this is really important, because when I say people have a massive input in the direction of your life, just think about it, right? Whether or not someone responds to your cold email, whether or not you get past a phone screen, whether it's objective or subjective, whether someone likes you on an informational interview, whether someone likes you on a super day, there's so many other things that are going to impact what happens in your life, whether it's positive or negative. You can't control that. But what you can control is going into a situation as prepared as possible. Okay, so that's very, very important, is to understand, hey, who do I want to be like when I grow up? what is a kind of list of like 10 to 20 people like that? I know here I'm like, hey, look at kind of like 5 to 10 firms and then kind of find, you know, people who work there that you admire and kind of say, hey, you know, did they, what was their trajectory like? Did they play sports? What school did they go to? Non-target, target, you know, how did they kind of progress along their careers? That is very, very vital. And it's going to allow you to objectively grade yourself. Because remember, no one's going to do this for you. No one is going to take the time to be like, hey, how do you objectively, how is your career tracking and ranking compared to where you want to be, right? And it's important to do this, right? If you want to be successful, if you want to have a good career, you know, I would think that you would want to take the time to be like, hey, what is the career path that I want? How do I track against the people that I'm looking up to? And then that way it allows you to take a step back and be like, hey, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to improve? So on and so forth, right? So now I'm going to go into pillar two, right? So everything that I said, you know, it takes time. It takes time and it develops over time. That is why, you know, it's just like when in investing, people are like, hey, when was the best time to start? Yeah, well, it was yesterday. And then the second best time is today. So even as it pertains to your career and thinking about career paths you could take, excuse me, just going to take a sip of water. Shout out to my sponsor, Essentia. Call me, please. Yes, Essentia, please do call me. But guys, jokes aside, kind of coming back into the point I'm making is that you must put in the work to understand, one, what you like, what you want to do, why you want to do it, and what career options at which firms will position you to do so, right? That is the most important thing right here is that, again, I'm going to repeat this one more time. You have to put in the work to understand what you like doing. So again, what do you like? Actually, you know what? Let me just go down so you guys can see it, right? You like to do, that's the one that is up and foremost, right? What you want to do, what you want to do. Number three is why you want to do it. And I'll give my examples kind of to the right, right? And then number four is what careers, oh God, please don't judge me on my handwriting skills. And then which firms, right? So, hey, if I could just kind of go top of my head, right? Hey, and I'm going to, it just works out conveniently because I'm going to go into this in my example in the, so I'll just kind of jump into it right now, right? So, I knew that after doing all this research and kind of doing this checklist on my own, I was able to very quickly ascertain that, hey, I want to work in the buy side in some capacity as a career goal of my line. You know, that was the end of my line, right? It's like, hey, I'm here right now. Wow, that's me at Rutgers. Yes, I look like that. And this is me as like an old, actually, it's, hey, people live long. Me at 90 years old, right? Buy side investor. So I knew that like my end goal at the end of my career, I wanted to be an investor, right? But as I looked at more and more backgrounds, I was like, hey, I know that I need sell side exposure in order to reach that. So while I knew that my why investment banking was like, to me, at least internally, was so I could get to the buy side, I needed to refine that over time, right? It's like, hey, why the sell side? What in the sell side? And what is it about the sell side that's going to help you in your buy side career? So as I started immersing myself and learning more about the ecosystem, different investors, different firms, I really took a particular liking to the world of distressed investing, right? So this is around like 07 to 010, particularly 08, 09, when things were getting really bad. So I started following deals by firms like Matlin Patterson, Apollo, or Little John and Company, right? Or Black Diamond, right? These are all just, I mean, some of these firms, I guess Apollo is probably much of an outlier. But if you think of like a Little John, Matlin Patterson, I guess even Ares to an extent, depending on what strategy, they do a lot of distressed credit type work, right? And I was like, hey, I was graduating high school at this time. And I was like, you know what? This is what really it gets me going, right? Distressed investing. So think about like a Paul Singer or something like that. So for me, I was like, hey, I like distress. I want to be a distress investor. So I need to get exposure to restructuring. Best case, I land at a restructuring shop, right? Or maybe I do some leverage finance or something that's a debt focused role that would help me go into a distress focused firm. So my goals and objectives were clear, right? Hey, I want to work in distressed one day. Right? I know that I needed to get exposure at restructuring sell side, right? Ideally, again, best case, right? So for me, I was able to figure this out of like, hey, what does my end goal look like? Because I was spending time kind of reading, learning, you know, and I was doing what mattered to me, right? So I was trying to understand the space that I wanted to work in down the line. So again, that is important for you to do. I can't do that for you. I can sit here and tell you, hey, Sajid Doshi was in high school. He was interested in distressed credit. He read all, you know, this is all he did, read Stephen Moyer's book, distressed debt investing. This is all he read about. This is what he wanted to do. You need to do that on your own. That is your homework, right? And I'll get to that in a second of what I would like for you guys to do before the next week's episode is that look, and please read this. Read what I write here. If you are about that finance life, then this is something you should be doing already. You shouldn't have to have me tell you to do this. You should be doing this on your own from the get. Hey, you should be looking at stocks. You should be looking at companies. You should be reading Deal Book, PE Hub. You should be reading investing books, right? Again, whether it's an intelligent investor or distressed debt investing, you should be doing these things on your own because you're interested in finance, right? So again, it goes back to that. It's not congruent, right? People say they want to work in finance, be front office. And it's like, hey, well, what are you actually doing, right? Are you spending your free time like going on Twitch or playing video games or looking at meme accounts? Or are you spending your time doing something that's going to help you advance your career or break into the career you want to do, right? So again, you are what your actions are, right? So your actions, what you do most of the way you spend your time is going to impact your life, right? So if you spend your time doing nonsense, then guess what? That's what your life is going to be, nonsense. So spend your time doing things that are pertinent and relevant to getting you one step closer to the career that you want, right? So again, I was able to figure this out because I put in the time and the homework to figure all this out. And that is what I need you to do too, right? Is that spend time thinking about the background of the folks that you're reading about and see again, what was your timeline and then try to figure out where you would stack up or how you want your career to stack up to theirs. Again, nothing's going to be perfect. Not everyone's going to have this straight line career path, but it helps to understand what are alternative paths you could take to get to the same destination, right? So example, this is the homework. Figure this out, right? For example, what I want some folks to do is like, hey, go and read a deck by some activist hedge fund, right? Go to the Sohn Conference's website and they have so many investment ideas, right? Pull up one of those decks, read them, go through it, right? Go to Seeking Alpha and read about a deal that's going on, right? Go to Deal Book and then try to do the analysis on your own of, hey, there's this takeover, there's this IPO, there's this blank check company that's coming out. Hey, does this deal make sense? Why are the comps this way? Why are the valuations this way? Again, you need to be doing this on your own. And again, not only will this drive your own knowledge and help you figure out what are career paths that you want to get to at an end state, but again, guys, what is this going to help you do? It's going to help your networking because as you read and learn, you're going to be reading about people who are doing this. And those are folks that you should be reaching out to and like, hey, read about your firm on Deal Book about raising X amount for this SPAC that's going to be investing into, you know, med devices, et cetera, right? I'm interested in healthcare because my parents have been doctors and, you know, they've saved lives and they focus on, you know, cancer research or whatever it is. And I'm really interested in healthcare and I want to be an investor in the space. I don't know. There, again, you find what your passion and interest is. And there is a place for your passion and interest because guess what, guys? In this world that we live in, it doesn't matter. And truly in 2021, whatever your passion is, there is a advisor, or there is a sell side advisor, and there is a buy side world that exists where your passions are being met. So what that means is you could think like, hey, Sajid, my interests and passions, there's no way that I could align something for me in sell side. That's wrong. Capital drives the world. The capital markets move the world, right? So whatever you think your niche and interest is, best believe that there is some banker advising a company that, you know, aligns with your interests and passions. And then on the flip side, best believe there are capital providers or, you know, firms on the buy side that are funding these companies or at least providing capital as these companies grow up that align with their passions and interests. So please believe that that exists. So take your passions and interests, hone them down, refine them, find people who are doing what you want to do, and then work backward to be like, hey, if I want to be like be like this person, you know, what are some career paths that I could take to get there, right? And again, as I transition now perfectly to pillar three, is that, you know, the reason I knew that, hey, if my end state is to be a buy side investor, why was investment banking the answer, right? And again, this is not what you'd want to say in an interview to an extent, to be very clear. This is not what you might want to say in an interview to an extent you could, but you don't want to be so explicit about it because then they'll know like, hey, you're just doing this to go to the buy side. And look, there are a lot of folks who do go to the sell side and stay for longer careers, especially now you know, in 2021, and the banks are realizing that, hey, what can we do to keep analysts and associates staying longer, right, versus people leaving. But that's, you know, I digress to that. I'll speak to that later. But for me, I knew that the exposure I'd get both on the soft and technical side would be top notch. And whether I was a generalist at an elite boutique, or I was in capital markets, or doing pure play sell side advisory for a coverage or product group, I knew that those are all skills that would be valuable as an investor, you know, to varying degrees, right? And to the extent that I got the exposure that I did, hey, whatever I can get is a win. Then you can always lateral and maneuver around based on what you want to do in your career. At the same time, expectations are very high for first years, and a lot of work is given to them. So internally, I knew that this combination of soft skills, technical skills would be the best launching path for my career in the short term and in the long term, right? So again, I knew right away, I was like, hey, I need exposure, so I need to get into the sell side. And although, and this is funny, and I'll talk about this in the future videos, that, you know, when I say I wasn't the best high school student, I meant GPA-wise. Otherwise, I was an angel. But I was as a senior, you know, I had a 2.8. And, you know, there's a reason I went to accounting college and then to state school, right? You know, although I felt like it was too late, you know, with my high school GPA that I had, it is possible to kind of right the ship, but you have to do it quickly. And for folks who are already at good schools and who are freshmen and sophomores, hey, you don't have to worry about like transferring to a good state school, or, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You can focus on, hey, let me take my passions, my interests. What does it align with? What are banks and firms that align with my short-term vision that will help me bridge the gap to get to my long-term vision, right? So again, for next week, and 7 days is more than enough, right? What is your why? And this is something you should have answered from episodes, you know, 1 and 2, right? This is something that should have been done already, right? In terms of what your long-term vision is. But now it's, hey, why investment banking, right? So again, what I want folks to do, ideally, watch this episode, come back, you know, drop in the comments, and, you know, I'll do my best to provide feedback and kind of, hey, how to refine some of those points. But the most important thing is, as you're thinking about this, do the time to do the research, because there are a plethora of firms, especially in North America, in Canada, in America, in the UK, in there are literally hundreds and hundreds of firms, both on the buy side and on the sell side, at a large metropolitan level and at a regional level, right? Nashville, Austin, Milwaukee, Chicago, Boston, there are so many, San Diego, Seattle, there are so many firms across America. People just want to hone in on New York and Lexington, Kentucky. There are firms everywhere, right? There is capital. There are deals being done everywhere. So there are going to be firms regionally. Oh, not now. Again. So with that being said, take the time, spend 2 or 3 days honing down on, hey, what are my passions and interests? Trying to find people who are doing exactly what you want to do, figure out what their paths were, and then think about what your paths could be, right? Whether you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, think about what are different paths you could take, right? Maybe you have to stay an extra year, right? Maybe you, and let me actually, you know, maybe path one here, and I'll just kind of do a quick little illustration. Maybe path one is that you stay a fifth year, right? Maybe path two is that you go to like a master's in finance program at like a top school. Maybe path three is that you take, you know, the best available offer, right? Maybe path four is that you go to a regional firm because you can't get in at some of the larger, more competitive areas, right? Maybe path five is that it's a combination of, it's like, hey, let me take like a middle office role, and then with the plan and focus of like lateraling in a year, right? So kind of a middle office, and then you lateral over. And again, guys, I don't want to speak to these like different varying paths in this level of detail in this video, because I do have dedicated videos coming up where I'm going to be walking through illustratively like, hey, what do you do if you're a non-target and you're a sophomore and you have to take a back office internship, or you have to work in wealth management? So I'm going to go through these in detail in future episodes, right? Of exactly like, hey, what do you do if you're in this situation, and what do you do if you're in this other situation, right? But right now that will come. So again, take a deep breath. Figure out, you know, what passions and interests you really have and what industry verticals, what sectors. Find people who are doing what you want to do. Again, by putting in the time, doing the research, there's a lot of work out there, right? Again, PE Hub, Deal Book, again, Jason's Inside Newsletter. There's so many resources out there, right? Again, spend some time, you know, Barron's, Seeking Alpha, go through that stuff, read about deals, investments that are going on. Again, find those people who are mentioned in those articles. Look at how their career trajectories have gone. See how you could line up with them, and, you know, again, how your career might track depending on what you do. you know, and using some of this stuff as like kind of like a guiding north. It's like, hey, what if I transfer to another school? Do I stay a fifth year? Do I go to a master's program? Do I do a back office role? Do I go to a mid office role? Do I go to, you know, do I take something at a regional city and just to get my foot in? Again, these are things that you need to spend time doing and think about what are some, you know, alternative paths that my career could take. So again, that concludes this episode. I did want to touch on a few things. I did get a few questions that came to me was in particular of like, hey, Sajan, you know, why is this again? Even last week, students were like, hey, like, why is your why so important, right? But again, if you go through, you know, I'm going to give another example just because I think I really need students to understand this, right? So let's say you find yourself reading about tech companies and you follow a certain stock, right? Are you following IPO trends for startups, right? Are you looking into emerging technologies in the biotech space or in AI or automation, right? Or in cloud computing? What is it that you find yourself doing, right? You want to take advantage of your youth, right? Most of you ideally are between like 15 and 21, 23 maybe. Take advantage of your youth, develop your niche and what you're passionate about, and then go all in. Go all in. Take advantage of your youth, develop those passions and interests, and go all in. So look, guys, I explained, you know, my why and how my journey started of like, hey, I was interested in the distress space, credit, restructuring, bankruptcies, and that is kind of how my journey started, right? And if you take a step back, I learned about these hedge fund managers, excuse me, these investors, these folks who had operating companies, you think of like a Stan Kroenke or Ron Burkle, right? And from there, kind of pivoted into, well, okay, who are guys in that space who are distress investors, right? So again, you think of like a Matlin Patterson, right? Right. And then from there, I then took the time to figure out, hey, if I want to end up like there one day, what do I need to do starting right now to make sure I follow that trajectory, right? So get the homework done, figure this out for next week, because next week, I think next week's episode is probably the most important episode. Next week's episode is going to be about PPD, literally the most important thing. It is a very important principle. It is absolutely critical. Oh, wow. So people who are listening, I just threw my tablet pen and kind of like threw it at my face and I just flinched on video. So kind of funny. But with that being said, next week, it's really crucial. We're going to be talking about PPD. And PPD, for folks who don't know what that means, it stands for Purpose, Process, Discipline. Absolutely crucial. So again, download the deck, this PDF for episode 3. You know, go through how I develop my why, apply that same framework to your situation, and start thinking about what your why is. And again, thinking about what your alternate career paths could look like. But again, with the understanding that hey, the end goal is the same. It's just how I get there might be different. And as long as you're prepared for that, you're never going to panic. You're never going to make moves out of desperation, because what happens is a lot of times is students move, again, with like chickens with their head cut off. They panic. They take roles that they shouldn't take, and they're chasing the short term. It's also like in investing, right? You know, you chase those short term gains. You're thinking about the next 5 or 10 days or the next 5 or 10 months versus the next 5 or 10 years. And that is the difference. You need to be thinking about the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years and move with purpose, process, discipline. But how do you move with purpose, process, discipline, which I'll go into next week, is again, have your why developed, understand what your passions and interests are, and go all in. Again, this is a very conceptual exercise. It will require time. So again, any questions, if anyone's confused about anything, please do reach out to me. With that being said, see you all next week. I hope you like watching this as much as I like making it for you. If you know anyone who would find it helpful, please, please do share this video with them, and look forward to seeing you guys next week. All right, peace.